This is Sober Reference. You're listening to a sober snack, bite-sized tips and tricks that will help you stay sober today. We share more cost-free resources on our website, www.soberreference.com, and hope that you'll connect with us on social media. Search Sober Reference now and look for our logo. For more information about today's guest, visit our show notes. We hope that you find this content valuable and leave feeling inspired to drink less, live more, and meet your potential. Enjoy.
What does spirit or spirituality mean to you today?
Well, just, I just love the words that you shared, because in my spiritual journey, one of the most beautiful parts of my spirituality is that I get to be reminded that I don't have to be in control anymore. And I grew up in a really pretty, just a, for a lack of a better term, pretty abusive home. And I, as a very, very young child, was trying to control how my father would react to something. And that, I think that's where the high achieving perfectionism pieces come out in me, because even when I tried to do things perfectly, he still may react in a really ill way. And so walking into sobriety and walking into my spiritual journey, having the weight lifted from my shoulders, not only am I not in control, but I don't have to be. Oh my God, what a relief, right? Like, what a relief. It took me 39 years of life to be introduced to that, but it's such a relief. You know, I get to focus on trying to do good, and also learning that even when I'm trying to do good, I can make mistakes, and that does not make me a bad person. And I had grown up with the mindset that even when I made really, really honest mistakes, I was bad and I wasn't worthy. And even that I shouldn't exist because of those mistakes. And so in my spiritual journey, it's been such a gift to realize that I can be a good person that only knows what I know. And I can be a good person that screws up. And I mean, in my recovery community here in Houston, to have, you know, sober friends say to me, but look how much progress you've made, right? Because my head goes to, I need to figure this out today. And even if I figure it out today, I should have figured it out, you know, when I was 28 and got prescribed all that stuff, right? Like, that's where my mind goes. It goes to the mode of just beating myself up. And so in this spiritual journey of mine, it's just such a gift that I don't have to beat myself up, and that only I have to understand my spiritual journey. No one else on the planet has to get how I see a connection with a higher power that I call God, you know, only I have to understand. My husband doesn't have to get it. My best friends, my kids, like my children, they don't have to see spirituality the way I do. And that's okay. And it doesn't make my way right or wrong. It doesn't make other people's way right or wrong. But I certainly know the growth that I've had in the last 16 months is completely grounded in just having faith that there's something bigger than me. And that along my journey, that I've been carried so many times by something greater than me. And that's what's been working. So, you know, for today, I'm just going to keep doing that, because that just seems to be working for me.
That's beautiful, Sarah. So you've just answered a question that I'd like to ask everyone that I interview, which is, you know, during your sobriety, what's a new belief or habit that's improved your life? What I heard you say is the belief that I don't have to control everything. The belief that, you know, I don't have to be perfect to be deserving to be good enough. The belief that I don't have to be understood to be like legit and validated and, you know, whole in who I am and what I believe in. I'd like to ask you a couple more like kind of rapid fire questions. Sure. Where you just kind of answer what comes up first. What do you say when you're asked, what can I get you to drink?
if it's alcohol, right? Like if they hand me the wine list or the cocktail menu or whatnot, I say, oh, I'm not drinking this evening, but you know, I'll have a sparkling water. I'll have an unsweet tea. Thank you so much. You know, initially I thought I was supposed to say like, oh, I'm an addict. Don't let me relapse. I didn't know. But I just say, oh, I'm not drinking tonight, but thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. And that's the reason why I asked this question, because of course, when you come into sobriety, you're like, what now? What am I supposed to say? What am I supposed to do? You know, it's beautiful to have examples that we can kind of pull from and test out for ourselves. So you're a smart, driven, successful woman who has found sobriety. What would you say to maybe yourself 2-3 years ago, or to another smart, driven, successful person who is considering getting sober for the first time? What advice would you give them? And is there advice that they should ignore?
Oh my gosh. The biggest piece of advice I would give is you are not alone. And I would say that over and over. You are not alone. I think about my own journey. If a woman in higher ed administration that I admired and that I saw as a visionary and a leader had shared in a way that I knew about that she had trouble with chemicals, with pills, with whatever, right? Oh my gosh, I wonder if my journey would have been different, because I always thought I was alone. So I would say you are not alone. And then on the flip side, I would encourage anyone, and I think especially in a really high achieving community, there's no right way to do recovery. There's no right way to do sobriety. And that's the one piece of the recovery community that kind of rubs me in the wrong way, is that some folks think the way they've done sobriety or recovery is the only way possible to do it. And if you try X, Y, and Z, oh, well, you're just abstaining and you're not really in a sober state of mind. And what? I don't buy into that. I think there are many different ways to achieve sobriety and recovery, and you have to find what works for you. But the biggest piece is that you are just not alone.
Beautiful. And I second that. You know, if someone tells you there's only one way, run away.
Because right.
The only person who can ever truly discern, you know, what's right for you is you. And my experience with eating, with drinking, with relationships is I've got to research and figure out what works for me and what doesn't work for me, you know, and come to that decision by myself. I've always had more success taking that route than perceiving someone as an expert who knows me better than I do. And that's not to say that, of course, we can't lean on the advice or the suggestions of people who have perhaps longer sobriety than us, or have gone through a situation that we're approaching going through. And that's what Sober Reference is all about, you know, like hearing these stories and realizing, okay, maybe that worked for that person. If Matt, maybe now I'm encouraged to try that and see if it works for me. If it does, amazing. If it doesn't, I'll listen to another story and then I'll try something else. But the encouragement to just keep trying to explore and to research, you know, that's the motivation that I want to trickle out into the world. Just the invitation to try and to welcome yourself into a new experience without alcohol. What myth have you heard about sobriety? And is there a comeback that you would like to shout at that myth?
Okay. The biggest myth about sobriety, and keep in mind, I'm in early sobriety at 16 months, is that the desire to drink will just vanish and completely go away. And if it doesn't, you're just not spiritually fit. So in my recovery, I no longer obsess about when's the next event where I am going to drink. I certainly don't wake up at 6 a.m. and fantasize about putting red wine in my coffee cup, right? But there are celebrations in my life. I romanticize being able to have one cocktail for really a couple of months. I romanticized, you know, what if I could have just that one glass of Veuve at dinner? Or what if I could have that Bloody Mary with my brunch? But those thoughts dissipate when I play it forward, guarding where my life was and how I felt 16 months ago. So I think the myth of you'll never want it to touch your lips again, or I've also heard people say you never liked the taste, you just liked the way it made you feel. I mean, I certainly did like the taste of red wine. And so those are some myths in my journey. And maybe in a few years, I'll be saying those things too. But as of today, I don't obsess about drinking, but it certainly pops up in my mind, especially for celebratory occasions. I romanticize that one drink or that one cocktail, but I haven't acted on it, which is the important part.
Thanks for listening to Sober Reference. We hope you found this content valuable and are leaving feeling inspired to drink less, live more, and meet your potential. You can find more cost-free resources on our website, www.soberreference.com. We hope that you'll connect with us on social media, search Sober Reference now, and look for our logo. Great job taking in sober positive content today. Until next time, this is Sober Reference, and we are so glad that you're here.